Hello and welcome to Lexicon from Interesting Engineering with me, your host, Shubhangi Dua. On this sponsored episode of Lexicon, my guest is Mihai Cruetti, the CEO of DigitalGate. DigitalGate is a software and hardware development company based in Romania that works with clients in the automotive, medical, industrial, and robotics sectors. I asked him about the career paths that led him to where he is today, how he keeps up with the rapid pace of change in the tech world, and his test-driven approach to development. So let's get into it.
Hi, Mihai. Welcome to Lexicon. How are you doing today?
Hi, thanks for having me. Fine, thank you. Almost done for today.
How did you begin your career in hardware and software engineering? And how did you start the company?
So I started in hardware and software development right from university, where I was exposed to electronics, PCB design, telecommunications, as well as embedded software development. So actually I started my career in the hardware side, but then right during university studies, I moved to embedded software development, more exactly low-level software development due to my proximity to hardware.
Was there a particular situation that inspired you to take this field?
So what I liked is that it's at the boundaries between hardware and software, but also is it spreads across multiple industries. So that's something I liked, because embedded systems are everywhere. It could be in automotive, it could be in military and defense field, also in medical field. So mastering this fields, to say so, gives you the opportunity to be exposed to multiple industries, multiple kinds of systems. So that's very interesting for me, because I get exposed to a lot of technologies. And that's the interesting part for me.
Can you give me an example of like what embedded systems are used?
Yeah, so for example, you already have one on you, on yourself. For example, the headset, it's a simple example of an embedded system. Then, for example, things like mobile phones, radar systems in automotive that are used, for example, for obstacle detection or pedestrian detection and so on. So these are already more complex types of embedded systems, which involve multiple layers of hardware, but as well as multiple layers of software that go all the way up to mathematical and algorithmic things. Nowadays, embedded systems are everywhere, probably even in the clothing industry. So there might be some chip that does something.
Would you call them an essential part of everyday life? Like humans can't survive without it anymore? Has it become like that?
I think they can survive, but their life would be very annoying without them, I would say. So yeah.
Go back to the dark ages.
Maybe not, but I think they are an essential part of our life today, and we are very used to them. So yeah.
So when did you start DigitalGate and why?
I started DigitalGate at the end of 2017 when I partnered with one of my colleagues that we were working back then in an automotive company at Autoliv. And we saw the need on the market for specialized embedded software and hardware development services, especially full stack, to address the full stack of design services, from the hardware, the mechanics, and the software. So that's how we came up with this idea. We're having experience in the automotive field, and we came up with this idea to set up this company. Back then, also the outsourcing business was very popular in Romania as well. Many Western and mainly Western, so East Western European and North American companies were coming to Romania for contracting engineering work. So yeah, that's more or less how we got the decision, and basically what we wanted to offer. And this is still the main aim of the company, is to provide a complete service package to the customers, right from the conceptual work up to the serial production of the device, of the embedded system.
What makes the company unique in terms of, like, if we compare it to other companies, what's the most unique aspect about it?
Yeah, so one particular aspect is that we have a full service package, so we can help our customers right from the idea, let's say product idea or system idea, all the way up to serial production. So that's something that our customers benefit a lot, because they have a single interface for all their needs for the products. We can help them with that. Also, we are an agile company, so we can adapt easily to changes in the project, changes in the requirements, changes in the market, and so on. So that's, yes, two main aspects that I think are, maybe we are not the only ones, but still there are very, very unique to say so to our company.
Can you tell me about a popular client that you had and the challenges you might have faced in developing a software from the ground?
Yes, sure. So we worked a lot, for example, on automotive projects, especially for safety relevant systems, for example, on projects like radar systems, camera systems, LiDAR systems. And the main challenges that we were facing, especially in the automotive and medical sector, is the strictness of the development process. So we need to develop everything in a traceable manner. We need to test everything according to medical and automotive standards. So this takes basically involves a very sophisticated development process. It also involves, on our side, having a very good and certified development and testing infrastructure set up. So those were two big challenges that we faced, especially in the beginning when we had to set up our processes on infrastructure according to those processes. Yeah.
How far has the company come since its first day and today, if you had to compare?
Yes, I think we have come quite far away, because at the moment we have our own processes in place. We have our own customer base. We have already designed multiple systems which are already on the market for our customers. So that's, at least for me personally, it's a big achievement that we have managed to do. Also, if I might say, a big challenge nowadays to set up a team, especially in the high-tech sector, which it's very volatile. So people keep changing jobs and roles very often. So the fact that we managed to set up a team, and with this team we managed to deliver already successfully multiple systems, it's a huge success for me and for the company, of course.
What's like the greatest product and service that you've created so far?
I think that's also a relative point. Mm-hmm. It depends on who you are and so on. But for me to say so, what I consider a product which has the most impact, at least for me personally, it's in the automotive and medical field. So we worked on other systems, for example, that we designed for autonomous driving. We worked a lot there on the hardware side, mainly PCB design.
Self-driving or just driving?
Self-driving, yes. Self-driving, but also driver assistance systems, which are not like driving the car by itself, but they assist the driver, like, for example, automatic braking or lane keep assist and so on. So those systems I find really interesting, and I think it's a very good thing that we worked on, because they have an impact on the daily life of many people.
Okay, that's really interesting, actually, especially self-driving systems today. Yeah. I want to know how technology has impacted you personally as well. And do you try to separate your job from your personal life and keep technology as much away as possible, or is it as integrated?
I think technology nowadays, it's integrated. So as we discussed in the beginning, just if you look at yourself, how you're dressed now, you may find, or what devices you are using at the moment, you will already find more than one embedded device. So I think in one sense, it's already integrated. On the other hand, of course, it's very important to draw a clear line between the personal life and the work. But as an entrepreneur, that's quite hard to do. For me, it was hard, and it's still hard, because there is no, you know, when you are an entrepreneur and you set up your own company, there is no 9-to-5 role, you know. What people forget to mention is that, you know, the role is no longer from 9 to 5, it's slightly bigger, not smaller. So yes, it's a challenge for me, it's still a challenge. Yeah, but that's something I think from which you get also a lot of satisfaction, because you manage to create something which, yeah, you're a direct part of. So that's something which brings for me a lot of satisfaction.
Let's talk about AI. How do you feel about AI entering this field altogether, both positive and negative?
Yes, I think it's a media thing to say so, more or less. We still don't have on the streets a car that can drive as good as a human can. So the all talk about robots taking over, it's, I think, science fiction. In the real sense of the of the phrase. I find it good that there are advances in algorithmic, there are advances in hardware that can run those algorithms. I think at the moment it's not as good as it should be for our applications that we need for our problems to solve. So I think we need more AI, not less. So yeah. That's my main take on that.
But do you ever think that since everybody's talking about how AI can take away people's jobs, do you ever worry about that, especially as an entrepreneur who is employing people? Do you ever worry that AI would kind of impact that?
I think it should impact only the people that don't want to adapt. If you want to adapt, it's no problem. And for the people that don't want to adapt anyways, if there is not AI taking their jobs, there will be something else. You know, back in the day when we invented machines and engines, diesel engine and so on, of course, the machines took the job of the horses and of the horse driver, to say so, yeah? So, but as well created other jobs, yeah? So I think it doesn't take jobs. It just transforms jobs. So that's how I view it. Yeah.
There's one thing that I wanted to ask you earlier when you were talking about ethics, cybersecurity. With software development itself and even AI entering the sphere now, there is a lot of question about cyber attacks coming up, and that's why there's going to be an AI conference. How do you feel about that impacting your company, even though you run a company that is based on these functions?
Yes, it's yeah, I think the best analogy would work, for example, it's a tool. So given the fact that criminals use a tool, it doesn't mean the tool in itself it's wrong. It just means that it's used in an improper way, in an unethical way. I do not think that the tool in itself is wrong. Of course, some applications have tendency to be used only in, let's say, wrong ways. For example, image manipulations, where you can manipulate someone else's photo and so on. But also, they have those algorithms have very good applications, for example, in object detection in other fields, yeah, where you detect pedestrians, you estimate the distance to them and so on, such that you can avoid them and not run over them. So I think these are just tools like we had from the beginning, very primitive tools like stones and I don't know what, swords and so on. These are just more complex tools, maybe, which maybe if you are not educated in the field, you cannot distinguish, for example, between a real picture and a doctored picture. Yeah, so I think it's in everybody's responsibility to get educated on those areas such that they can assess the situations and judge properly. Of course, you cannot be a doctor in image processing and so on. But I think to a certain degree, the people can educate themselves such that they don't get fooled or get into the point where they take unethical decisions. So that would be my answer.
How would you suggest that people educate themselves? Like, do you have any like particular guidelines?
Yeah, I think it's important to maintain the natural instincts that we have. For example, we are born as curious creatures. We are very curious about things. We keep asking questions from the very beginning of our lives. So I think that's the main human tool that we are equipped with, and we just need to cultivate it and maintain our curiousness about things that surround us, be it technical, be it religious, ethical matter, and so on. And I think it's very important to ask the questions, and also it's important to aim to ask the right questions. So I think the main approach here would be to not sit passive, to make sure that we evolve as well and that we understand what happens around us and that we make the effort to understand what's happening around us and not just be pure consumers of so-called information that you can find everywhere nowadays, and it's not really subjective information. So yeah, I think it's this, and also making sure we are not superficial and that we give to the topics the seriousness that they deserve.
Do you have a dream that no company has achieved? Your personal dream or Digital Gate's dream that you want to talk about?
Well, our and my dream is more or less the same that we started with, to be able to diversify our services portfolio and be able to provide to our customers the full package service, which helps them bring their ideas on the market, helps them manufacture, and yeah, basically bringing them on the market in a timely fashion. So our next goals for the next years are to grow also in the manufacturing field. Up to now, we were fully based on the design and validation part, but we would like also to move on manufacturing and be able to do everything end to end. So that would be our goal. I think it's a goal which many companies already did it, but nevertheless, I think there is still demand, especially in the high-tech sector, for companies that can provide end-to-end services and can contribute to the further expansion of technology in many key fields.
Is there a dream product that you want to create and nobody has ever done that before, and you still want to do it one day, maybe 50 years even?
I would not say that. I think that we have a category of products that we are thinking of, and that's mainly in the field of development-related tools that make the engineering work easy, especially the analysis, debugging, and validation work in automotive systems. For example, things as analyzers, hardware-in-the-loop systems, and so on, that aid in the validation and analysis of embedded systems.
Okay. Is there any advice that you would like to give future engineers, especially those who are thinking of entering the hardware and software field?
Yes, I think it's the basics to understand mathematics, physics, and treat them seriously. Also, understand the philosophy behind the mathematical and physical reasoning. And yes, I think those are the main elements of engineering work in any field. If you manage to master those and you are sufficiently disciplined and focused on your work, I think you will achieve good results if you dedicate the right time. Depending on your target, yes, you have to allocate more or less time. So main thing is, yes, to master the basics and have the discipline and be open to sacrifice your time for it, because when you study and work on complex things, they usually take time to design, to understand. So yes, that would be the main advice.
There's also like a lot of overflow of content at the moment. So how do you advise anyone, for that matter, to stay up to date with information? How do you do it yourself?
Yes, I look for patterns because, yes, there is an overflow of information. But if you analyze it closer, and also when you have a lot of practice in analyzing, especially I am speaking from technical point of view because I deal a lot with technical content. there are patterns, and when you are looking for something, you can see the, especially in the technical field, you can see the patterns in the material that you are analyzing. So yes, looking for patterns is for technical aspects. In general, for other type of information, I personally try to avoid it. I think it's too much, and nowadays it's actually too much propaganda, especially in the political sphere and let's say social, even though it's not social, it's some kind of propaganda to propagate a certain type of philosophy or type of ideology, which on one hand you cannot be passive, because there might be, and there are of course important aspects of those ideologies that nowadays try to get a foothold, but on the other hand we need to be careful not to get drawn into battles which are pointless. That would be my advice. Try to take only what, filter it, and take only what's really needed, and maybe fight the debates which are really needed to be fought, not any kind of debate, or just for the sake of debating. Yeah.
How do you see the world in like 50 years? What kind of developments do you see coming around?
It's hard to make predictions, right? Especially over such a large distance. But I think there are equal chances that it will progress, as well as equal chances that it might go very, very wrong. So over such a large period, I think it's very hard. Maybe if we assume that it can go only good, I think definitely there will be huge advances, for example, in computational power, in algorithmic work, that will benefit a lot and will open new gates for applications which we might not have thought about now, or even we might not even think about in 10 years or 20 years.
Right.
So yes, I see especially advances in computational power, for example, quantum computers and so on, that would bring a huge benefit in terms of automation and the high-tech sector in particular. It could go also wrong, and there are many ways to go wrong, and maybe we just get back 50 years, you never know. So yeah, that's why it's hard to estimate such things.
Lastly, what advice would you give to those who want to become entrepreneurs like yourself today?
To really think if they want to do it, and it might sound sexy when it's successful, but overall it's a fight which you are fighting, so if you don't like fighting, better don't do it. That's if you want a calm and peaceful life with not many challenges, and you do not like uncertainty, I think that's not something for you. If you like this and you are a player and you like to play, I think it's good. What's important is to keep in mind that you're doing it also to a certain extent for the sake of the game and not just for the final success. Yeah.
Do you view business as a game?
Well, it's not, game might not be the appropriate term, because it's a serious matter which affects people's life, but in the end it's a process followed by certain rules, and they should be ethical rules that should govern business in general and also entrepreneurial work. Yeah,
that was great. Thank you, Mihai.
Big thanks to Mihai for his first time on the podcast today, and to you all for listening. For more information about DigitalGate, please visit digitalgateamg.com. Please make sure you leave a review and subscribe to Lexicon for future episodes. For ad-free access to news and features about engineering, science, and technology, please visit interestingengineering.com/subscribe. Until next time, it's goodbye for now.